Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're live and direct from the hills of East Tennessee tonight. We've got a great message lined up for you. We're going to get into the aspects of deception. Many in the last days are going to be deceived by following vain talkers and tradition that they have learned through the tradition of the elders. We're going to talk about all those things. We're going to really get into in-depth. This is Sunday. It is 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, and the date is February the 22nd. So we're glad to have you in here with us tonight. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy's on the air. We'd be glad to for you to do that for us tonight. Praise Yahweh, if you will, and help us get the word out, because we believe that the word is important. We're going to Matthew chapter 23 tonight. We're going to begin our search and the entitlement of the word that we have for you tonight. The message will be, woe unto thee. Woe unto thee. Now, the Bible is very plain in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, just where the woe starts and where the woe ends. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said if judgment begins at the house of God, and we are taught by the prophetic utterance of the Scriptures that the kingdom cometh not with observation. In other words, they're waiting on somebody to build them a building over there in Jerusalem. The Jews have promised to do that. But you know what the Bible says about the Jews? we're ever learning and never able to come to the truth about people that we want to believe are God's chosen people. But the book of Revelations, chapter 2, verse 9, says that these Jews, those that refer to themselves as Jews, remember the Bible says here in the book of Matthew, take heed that no man deceive you. And the greatest deception that ever spawned upon the earth, number one, is that the Jews are God's chosen people. Ladies and gentlemen, this is incorrect. And this is the cause of a lot of Christian downfall as they support and adhere to the teachings of the mainstream Christian church. Because many of the false prophets of the bell boxes, the Christian churches, are laced into this thing about Israel. That Israel, that place over there, that was abandoned in 721 B.C. by the 11 tribes of the house of Israel, and then in 586 of the true house of Judah. Now, these are the two sticks that we believe that will be reunited, neither one of them to be reunited there, because the Bible gives us an utterance that we're never to return there. Never. If you go back into the Bible and look at certain aspects of scriptures and prophetic utterances, and we have taught on this many times, but just to refresh your memory and bring you up to speed about what's really happening in the last days, the only thing that I can see that's happening is deception. Those that are deceived and being deceived in the last days, that the deception is increasing, not decreasing. It should be decreasing or decreasing, because the Bible says much knowledge will be increased. But ladies and gentlemen, isn't it true that the Bible is prophetically correct when it says that the knowledge that is increasing, that evil men will wax worse and worse? Aren't we in the greatest explosion of filth, pornography, Hollywood examples, nudeness, race mixing. All of these are precursors of the times and the signs that would be indicated and given to those who pursue truth. Now, you know the Bible says that you can strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them. Now, we know that in 721 B.C. they were planted abroad. And listen what this text says, that they may dwell in a place of their own. The prophetic scriptures was that these people would become the greatest people in the earth. They would become two mighty nations out of that from the prophecies of Manasseh and Ephraim. Ladies and gentlemen, those that try to defend the house of Judah, when there's nothing prescribed to the house of Judah, not one thing, they murmur and complain when you get into the truth of the scriptures. They scratch like little chickens in the barnyard when they ought to be flying and soaring with eagles. Down there picking around in Genesis 49 and 10 and says, well, when it says that the scepter won't depart, glory to God, it didn't mean that. It just means that when the Messiah comes, that Judah will be instituted as the greatest people upon the earth. Well, we got something to say about that. The word depart means to leave. You see, the house of Judah never had the scepter. There is no prophetic scriptures of assignment to the scepter to the house of Judah, nowhere written in the text. The birthright that belonged to Joseph, which very little is spoken about that, that's just the gloss. When they do mention that Joseph's got the birthright, that's just a gloss over that they don't get caught mishandling the scriptures so they can justify their scepter, go over and then say, well, it doesn't matter, it doesn't amount to anything because the scepter belongs to Judah. Hogwash, poppycock, ignorance, foolish, deceptive, ignorant and unlearned, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth of the word of Yahweh. And it is brought to you in kind by the tradition of those and the errors of the past. When it becomes popular to preach a certain doctrine and you get accolades and you get people to pat you on the back or you get them to write you a little two-page letter of agreement, but it's because they believe the line be damned and you hold it up, you are worse than they are if you support something that you know better, but you just do it because you want to receive recognition as being a great gunslinger and a Bible-toting, pistol-packing mama. Really, that's what you appear to be, as a mama rather than a mister, because mamas will misquote the scripture, but misters will bring it on just like it says. It is written that the house of Joseph will emerge in the last days and that they will rightfully take their place as the birthright possessors of the tribe that spawned our Messiah Christ, who is now being put on trial. Mr. Mel Gibson, we'd like to congratulate him on the movie that's coming out just this coming week. And I encourage, although it's been, if you will, edited to appease a certain group of people that are crying anti-Semitic. You see, this is the greatest fallacy in the earth. How can those that claim to be of Israel, we're talking about those that claim to be Jews but never mention Israel, the 12 tribes, you see, Jew, the tribe of Judah, or the tribe of Yehuda, properly pronounced in the Hebrew, we have used this word Jew loosely. It wasn't used until 2 Kings 16:6. And when we find that word Jew used, it was fighting against the house of Israel with the enemy that was sworn enemies of Israel, fighting in defense of the enemy of Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something wrong here with the word Jew. The word Jew that has become synonymous with the house of Judah or the house of Yehuda. where did the disbursement of the house of Yehuda, where did they go to? Where is the history? Where is the ones that are able to trail the departures of the house of Israel? I'm talking about all 13 tribes. You see, when we're anti-Semitic, that means we're against the house of Israel, 13 tribes, not against a particular group of people that call them Jews and are liars and are not. Do you know the most holy book that the Jews, that those that are calling themselves Jews, is called the Talmud? Have you ever read the Talmud? Would you dare to want to look into their most holy book? Do you really want to know what they thought about Christ? Mr. Gibson couldn't come out, but he did challenge the lady that interviewed him on the television show, Prime Time. He brought up the word Talmud. He said the Jews have their Talmud and the Christians have their four Gospels. Well, it ain't interested in here tonight. I'm in the four Gospels. These children shall, listen, they shall move no more. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, these people, my people Israel, shall be removed. I will plant them in a distant land, and they will move no more. Oh, but we got the Christians that are supporting, well, you know, every Easter, all these great evangelists and all these great church pastors encourage their people to go with them on tours to the Jewish Holy Land, the homeland of Christ the Jew. Ladies and gentlemen, I just wish that Mr. Gibson would know the rest of the story, or was able, probably does know it, and was able to tell it. You see, he would be probably murdered before the sun went down, as popular as he is and as high visible as he is in the media exchange. You see, Pastor Buddy don't have to worry about that. I'm not a high impact media impactor of their lies. You know, I tell the truth and preach against the lies of tradition that have been said. Woe to these people, the Bible says here in the book. But let me give you a scripture here that talks about the generation of vipers. The generation of vipers. Who's these people? Now, Christ is talking to these people. I encourage you to go see the movie that these people that actually kill Christ was the Sanhedrin Pharisee Jews, that those that call themselves Jews. And I'm going to tell you what Christ thought about them, and I'm going to tell you why they killed them. They didn't want it out as to who they were. And along comes Pastor Buddy, and I thank the Heavenly Father for the Passion movie that's coming out. This will help our cause. That will help, actually, the people to see the brutality and the evilness. And people say, oh, the Jews were blind, Pastor Buddy. They didn't know what they were doing. And, you know, when people say that, then I know that they haven't one inkling of what the whole truth's all about. Blind leading the blind, both go to the ditch. If the Christian church is the authority on who Christ was, and these little braying jackasses, that these little handy dams that get up and skip around like a little crowing hen in the barnyard. You know, they, you know, sometimes a hen wants to crow. When the rooster leaves the barnyard, if the rooster doesn't reemerge or reappear very shortly, a dominant hen will take up a clucking and a clacking, and she'll actually perform a little crowing. Well, that's what I look at these people that crow about that Christ was a Jew. I just wish that I could get on national television for an hour as they interviewed Mel Gibson for 30 minutes. I was very thankful that they did. I was very thankful for the wisdom and the perseverance of Mel Gibson when he declared and stood his ground against the media onslaught. You see, ABC, Prime Time is owned. The parent company that owns ABC is Jew-controlled. They control it. Well, the Jews control Hollywood. The Jews control the Federal Reserve, the House of International Bankers of the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Mellons and the, you know, I could go on, and the Bushes and all of these things, and their offspring and the royalty. They have mixed their seeds so expertly among the elite, the rich and the powerful and the famous, and Satan has gifted them with the riches. Rockefeller said himself, I care not who has the laws, just give me the money and I'll manipulate the system. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they bought the system out lock, stock, and barrel. You are now what is known as a straw man. They purchase your birthright for $630,000 as soon as you're born. The chamber or the Commerce Department of the United States government, they sell your birth certificate. And then everything else is titled in your behalf as a straw man, and you are on the universal code of products, and you're nothing but a sheep on the market. We have sold our birthright. We've become a straw man. We're actually like the tin man, the tax identification man. And the tin man, you know, he'd rust up every while and couldn't move. Well, the lion man, he didn't have a heart. He couldn't cry out against the atrocities and the wrongs. And so is Israel. We are the weasel-hearted, not the lion-hearted. When Mel Gibson made Braveheart, I knew that Mr. Gibson knew something about the Aryan heritage in the earth and the demise or the death or the destruction by a planned conspiracy, as Mr. Gibson's dad has said many times, and my good friend Dr. Gary has spoken with him, and folks, he knows the rest of the story. He knows there's a conspiracy to destroy the sons of Noah, the sons of Abraham, the sons of Jacob, and particularly the sons of Isaac. These are the bloodline. Remember, the Bible says, and I can't emphasize this strong enough, and nobody will go there but me and dare to touch this with a 10-foot pole because they don't even understand the genetic nature and characteristics of our makeup. Not only are we sons of Adam, sons of Noah, or descendant sons of Noah, or sons of Isaac, we are sons of the Heavenly Father. Not only was David a son of Jesse by his genetic bloodline, an Ephraimite, by the way, I might add, and Boaz, I've been over this so many times it ain't even funny, and I guess some of you are saying, well, Pastor Buddy, don't dwell on this subject. But you see, these brilliant jackasses just stir me to no end because of their ignorance and their refusal and their hard-headedness. And the Bible says after they have been rebuffed, the second time an admonishment of the second warning, to turn them over to a reprobated mind and let them believe a lie and be damned and join these people that call themselves that are Jews or not. Call no man, Matthew chapter 23, verse 8. Do not be called rabbi. Oh, what's the famous word now in the earth? Who are those that are crying out foul against the passion play of Mel Gibson the last 12 hours? Oh, my, isn't it wonderful that he chose 12 to represent the 12 tribes of the house of Israel? Did you know that Christ died for a specific people, a specific bloodline, a specific genetic inheritance? That he said, not only am I the offspring of David, I am the root of David. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you know the significance of that word root, that genetic makeup, that bloodline that David came from was fostered and instituted and brought forth by Yahweh himself. Isn't it amazing that we have the liberty to go into the scriptures and yet very few have the comprehensive understanding because they have been blinded. And they've been told that, well, don't speak against the Jews. They're God's holy people. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody from the tribe of Issachar, which is of the house of Israel, is just as holy as somebody from the tribe of Judah. And perhaps, probably, more holy. I can give you instances where that some of the tribe of Judah erred by going and mixing their bloodline with a Canaanite. You'll never read where Joseph ever mixed his blood with a Canaanite woman and brought forth an illegal, illicit seed into the house of Israel. You need to write for my tapes. I've got hours and hours, both on video and audio, of how the serpent got into the house of Israel. Pastor Buddy's the only one who'll tackle it. I'm the only one that's got the guts and the intestinal fortitude and the backbone to even dare to go where I go, where others fear to tread. And when I do go there, I've got these critics that scratch in the barnyard trying to dig up a scripture to prove that Christ was a Jew. And, you know, I've got $5,000 and nobody will come forth. You know, they'll talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Why don't somebody come and get $5,000 to prove that Christ was Jew? I would have been on the council that Mr. Gibson consulted. I'm sure that he wouldn't have dared to go as far as I go because of the notoriety that he has already. He's already made an enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Gibson has nowhere to go but down, because the Jews will see to his demise. You see, when Mr. Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, when he decided to take the Federal Reserve on and start printing money and guarantee it by the gold standard that was taken off in 1933, when he did that, somebody killed him. Well, guess who? He that has the power to kill, maim, hurt, if they can't buy you out. Folks, let me tell you something. Money answers all things, and most people, most preachers especially, like these preachers that sell out, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you can pass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Who are these Pharisees and hypocrites and scribes and proselytes? Well, the scribes, do you hear of any Pharisees going around the world like the Christians do? Well, the Christians are the proselytes. They make one proselyte. Now, they've made him twofold more the child of hell because he runs out all over the world trying to save every race, creed, and color and kind and adopt them into the family of God. Because God is a universal God, and so humanist universalism comes into play, and of course you know who fosters that. Our nation has been destroyed right at its bottom to its core, and all that's left is the packing up and the turning the lights out and moving out, and that's coming quickly on the judgment of the mighty one. Now I want to give you a scripture. You Bible studiers, let me give you something to chew on tonight. This is one thing that you need to know about. Let me quickly give it to you here. Let's go over to the 24th chapter of the book. I'm coming back to Matthew 23 to follow up on the scribes and the Pharisees and woe that is pronounced upon them. And I'm going to tell you why that we need to be very careful on who we support in this business of religion. Religion is the most deceptive. Ladies and gentlemen, your soul's on the line. I wouldn't dare go where I'm going tonight and telling you what I'm telling you if I didn't love your soul, if I wasn't interested in you as a people, and I'm only interested, this is only to, for, and about the house of Israel and the lost sheep. That's who I'm preaching and ministering to. Asking you to come out of Babylon, and I'll explain later on what Babylon is and what it means for you to stay in it. Your soul's at stake. Be not deceived. Woe unto those that are deceived, but woe unto them that deceive them. They also receive the greater damnation. But of course, they're going forth to deceive and being deceived. And here is the number one thing that most people don't count. See, it's a word thing. Search the scriptures. Wherein you think you have eternal life, you have none. These are they that testify of me. So you've got to get into the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. You need, above all things, to get you some encyclopedias. It would be nice if you had the Talmud. I think there's about 360 books there, so I wouldn't suggest you get them all, but just get enough to know of what they recommend or what they say about your Christ. That's why Mr. Gibson suggested, and you notice the attack dog that they had to grill Mr. Gibson. You notice she backed off very quickly there because she'd already been warned if he brings up the Talmud, change the subject real quick. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to read the Talmud, I'll get into some of the quotes of the Talmud later on here if I have time. If not, we'll do it in the next part of a series here. But I want to give you some insight into a word that has been overlooked in the Bible. Here in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, it's a very important chapter. I have fasted and prayed 30 years ago over this chapter very much. I was very concerned because this is the end time signs that are evidence that the things are to be. And I got my education in the woods, in the caves, and the hills of East Tennessee back in the 60s, the early 60s, when I was fasting and praying about this very message. And here it is. Verse 4, warning, take heed that no man deceive you. This is in Matthew chapter 24, again, verse 4. Verse 5, here's the key. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, I want you to compare verse 5 with verse 7. Now, once you've compared verse 5 and verse 7, you will see something very strange and peculiar in that particular verse of Scripture. Now, what is it and what does it mean is entirely up to your understanding on what you can decipher out of the Strong's Concordance. Now, if you will go and circle the word in verse 5, many shall come in my name. Circle the word in. Now, that's a Greek word, and it's Strong's number 1909. For nation shall rise against nation. That's in verse 7. Now, I'm going back to the last verse of Matthew chapter 23, which is the 39th verse. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, do me a favor, do yourself a favor in your word search. Circle again the word in the Strong's of the Greek Concordance. That is Strong's number 1722. The word in is Strong's number 1722. The word in 24 verse 5, the word in there is a different Strong's number. Isn't that strange? Have they put the wrong word in there? Yes, they have. The English, the translators, put in when they should have put in Strong's number 1909, which is in the Greek, which says against. So then, if you will read it properly in verse 5, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come. You've heard it say, and probably some of you preachers that's listening to me tonight, and you should apologize to your congregation for misquoting the scriptures. You see, just because we read it in English and we take it for granted that it's correct in its translation, that's why the Bible says to rightly divide. It didn't say add to or take from. It said rightly divide. So if it wasn't put in there in its proper original form, then you've added to and taken from, and you're guilty, although you think that it says and, it says against. For many people shall come against my name. Now, just bring up the name Yahweh to a Jew and watch him slip away, like a manna. Well, bring up the sacred name of Yahweh, bring that up to the average Christian and see what he does to you. They'll cast you out for my namesake. Christians, they don't even know that the name that they're calling on is a Greek addition to the scriptures. You see, the name Jesus is not even in the original 1611 Bible, and those people say, well, I know that, but it's just all in translation. Doesn't matter. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and because that you reject knowledge, he said, I will reject you. So then, if you refuse the knowledge, if you refuse to quote the script, ... that many shall come against my name, not in my name, because I gave you the Strong's number. Look it up. Strong's number 1909, which is the same number in verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation. Look at that word. That's Strong's number 1909, which is the same word for in verse 5, which the proper word for in the Greek is Strong's number 1722. Now, if you don't understand that, write for my tape on the name. We cover that. But you generation of serpents, who are these serpents? Well, no wonder they're crying foul at Mel Gibson, anti-Semitic. And then the Christians' people are now telling their churches, some are encouraging them to go see it because it displays the, they really, if they understood what this movie is going to do, and you know what the Bible says in the last days, there shall come deliverers out of Zion to turn Jacob from his ungodliness. Who's Jacob? That's the house of Israel. Now, the house of Israel cannot be anti-Semitic. If you belong to the house of Israel and you belong to one of the 13 tribes, you cannot be anti-Semitic when you yourself are Semitic. You could be anti-Semitic and be in favor of someone that's not a Semitic. And that's the case here. I know them that say they are Jews and are not, but they are liars. Oh, if Mel could do a 12-hour movie on what I know about, I hope he knows about, but what you should know about. Now, let me give you the 13 woes in the Bible. Remember, call no man rabbi. Verse 13. Isn't it interesting that in the 23rd chapter, it wastes of the 13th verse? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom. You shut it up. You don't open the kingdom to people, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You shut it up. What have they done? They took away the key of knowledge. Some, the Illuminati, these who are wanting to keep you ignorant, to keep them in power. Folks, this is amazing statistic I'm fixing to throw out to you, and I just don't throw it out haphazardly. I've studied this quite well, and it's a true figure mathematically. 3% of the world's population own 97% of its wealth. I'm going to repeat that again. You see, most of the wealth of the United States, and I'll use the United States as an example, but it's a rule of thumb of measurement across the rest of the world, because as the United States goes, so goes the rest of the world. And most of the world is mortgaged away. And then the individuals that live there, they do not have any wealth. They have it mortgaged. And they're just squatters or renting the property, so to speak, paying usury, which is against the rules of Yahweh and the theocratical government of the house of Israel. It was wrong to charge your brothers usury. Who's the largest usury chargers? But they say it's all right because they're charging the Gentiles. They've got you convinced that you're a Gentile, when in fact you just might be a Semitic. That you might be just one of those that they claim to be and are not. But they blinded you to who you are so that you wouldn't know who they are. I know them that say they are Jews and are not but are liars, Christ said. No wonder they killed him. Did you know that Mr. Gibson in his movie The Passion, he had to remove the audible sentence of "let his blood be upon us"? The Jews cried out in the four Gospels that Mr. Gibson alluded to. He said the Christians, and I'm going to use that term loosely because most Christians are anti-Christ themselves and claim Christ. They're anti-Christ. They're not in Christ. They're against Christ. You bring the true Christ in his true name, and they'll be the first ones to cast you out for his name's sake. How do you know, Pastor Buddy? Well, you see, as the old saying goes, I'm an old rat in the grist mill. I've been in where the gears are grinding long enough, and I've been in caught in some of the gears of Christianity. I know. I've been there and done that. After 50 years of searching scriptures, I know a little bit about Christianity. That's been my life for 50 years, to study, to pray, to fast, to seek, to read, to acknowledge, to turn from my sinful ways. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the controversy is all about Yahweh's love and Yahweh's commandments. But the Bible says, rightly divide the commandments. Now, the Jews would have you to be under heavy burdens. Woe to them, the Bible says, for they shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for they neither go in themselves. Listen to that. The Pharisees, who most people, well, let me just rephrase, the rabbis, who are now the critics of the Passion movie, they're afraid that it's going to spark anti-Semitism and that they will be the brunt of the wrath of Christians when they learn out really who really killed Christ. Most Christians hear the preachers preach that that yes, he was delivered, and yet most of the time it's the Roman government, and now the rabbis are trying to throw the blame on the Romans. Well, if they would pull out their most holy book, the Talmud, it'll give you a clear indication of what they thought about Christ. They thought he was an illegitimate son of a whore, a Jewish whore, Mary, Miriam, that he was a homosexual, and that he is in hell, and he's been tormented day and night, and he's not the ascended God of the Christians. He is not. But then the Christians come along and say, well, you see, Pastor Buddy, glory to God, hallelujah, Shundai. The Jews have been blinded from that knowledge that you have, and they are not to be afforded that knowledge that you have, and therefore God blinded them to get to you. So where do you read that nonsense at? Well, glory to God, my pastor, he preached on this just the other day, but it's in the Bible. Glory to God. They won't affirm what they say. Just like when you ask them, well, where does it say that Jesus was a Jew? I'm going back to Genesis 49:10. The scepter will not, now when it says that it will depart, don't mean it's going to depart from Judah. Because it said it will just enhance Judah, and they will be the glorified tribe. That's right. That's exactly, that is 100% true. Exactly what happened. It's amazing how that the Jews killed him and turned around and put the blame on somebody else. And then when you speak against them with the truth, they cry anti-Semitic, and they fear what's going to happen to them, what happened in World War II, that 6 million of them died. And when you get to looking into that fallacy, you find out just exactly what it was. There's $50,000 reward for anybody that can prove that 6 million Jews died, but they got the world convinced it was Eisenhower. And need I say any more? I like Ike. And 52. When Mr. Ike run, Ike was a World War II hero. He came home. He conquered Germany. Well, they don't tell you that they killed 40 million of those precious Aryan sons of Yehuda. And they shut them up. So the very ones that claim to be Jews are the very ones that massacred at least 40 to 50 million of them just a short 50 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth needs to really come out, and it would change the thinking of those who claim to be Christians into Yahwist. You know, the word Christian comes from the word Krishna. That's the guys that you see over at the airport that's fleecing you for money when you land, or the bus station, panhandling for Krishna, the god, the Indian god, the Hindu god. And we just fell into so much word deception, ain't even funny. So remember, won't you, scribes and Pharisees, for you shut up, heaven. You won't go in yourselves. These Pharisees, who are Jews, they're not going to heaven. The Bible says so. Oh, now, Pastor Buddy, all God's Jews will be saved. Glory to God. Won't you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. Now, I want to ask you a question. Every Easter, who is it that welcomes the Christians over to the largest anti-Semitic nation in the world? A racial anti-Semitic. They're against Christians. Their Talmud's against Christians. But they want Christian money. And so millions of Christians go there. They don't really know what the Jews do when they get in their synagogues. Woe unto you rabbis. Woe unto you scribes. Woe unto you Pharisees. They don't really know, because the Bible said you shall receive the greater damnation, for you fleece the house of Israel. Here's the house of Israel, because we got an allegiance that some people claim to be Jews, that they decided to be brave enough to go back to the Holy Land, and they're going to build the temple, glory to God, and that Jesus is going to come back and sit in that temple. Ladies and gentlemen, is that the teaching of Christ? No, it's not. It's absolutely 110% against the teachings of Christ. That's not going to happen anytime soon. And if it does happen, it'll be a false God sitting there, not the true. The one that they serve is not the one that you should serve if you're a Christian, and I'll assure you that you'll know the difference when the two meet, and they will pretty soon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you compass sea and land. See that? Well, who's the greatest evangelistic force in the earth? Lear jets, building universities all over the earth and going to all the regions of the earth and converting these people. The Bible says you, when you convert them, you make them two-four more the child of hell than yourselves. My heavens, won't you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you have these great revivals, missionary movements, and you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, somebody that is not even out of the house of Israel. And when he is made, you make him two-four more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you blind guides. Well, I know that the Jews is God's chosen man. Where do you read that? Well, my preacher said so, glory to God. And here, I'm trying to get one verse of scripture where he said the Jews are God's chosen people. I'm trying to get one scripture where he says that Jesus was a Jew. The one you know as Jesus. Of course, they say he was a Jew. You know, if we was to rewrite the Passion, I could rewrite it real good, and boy, it would be a story that's not been told. In this case, this is the greatest story ever sold. They're selling this Jesus stuff, and the Jews are opening their arms for all the Christians to come back to where Jesus walked. And you might get to see where he... Even they've even named a rock over there. They found a rock in Mary's hometown over there. They said Mary sat on the rock. And did you know that just as soon as they announced that they found a rock that Mary, Holy Mary, sat on, that about 25 million people bought tickets to go and see that rock where Mary sat? I'm telling you, this is big money stuff. And now they found the boat that Jesus traveled the Sea of Galilee in. And did you know that those same 25 million people that visited and paid big bucks also put that on their agenda? And they have the very spot, it's been changed about 10 or 15 times, but they have the very spot that Jesus baptized in the sea of, or in the river of Jordan. They have that very spot, it's been changed 15 times, but 25 million people a year visit that and pay big bucks just to see where Jesus was baptized. Then they go home and deny baptism. You fools and blind guides. Woe unto you blind guides, which swear by the temple that is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. You fools and blind. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, Ananias, and cunning, and you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have to done, and not to leave the other undone. Ladies and gentlemen, woe unto you, Pharisees and hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, and within you are full of extortion and excess. Extortion? Is somebody extorting money from you? Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you go down to the bank and you pay your usury payment, which is always greater and some than is the principal. The interest is always greater by tenfold. And you pay and you work slave, and they've got this money that they printed out of thin air and loaned it to you out of the banks. No wonder the banks are laughing all the way to the bank. But no wonder the people that control this ingenious formulation of witchcraft of creating money out of thin air, out of nothing, and making you work for it, and then mortgaging your land and selling out. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been going, see, 1929 was a fault of a fall purposely planned by a certain group of people that all of the land and possessions in America could revert to the bank under foreclosures. And now 97% of the wealth of the nations of the earth are owned by 3% of the population. That leaves 3% of the total wealth of the earth in the hands of the few. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, because you build the tombs of the prophets. You build the tombs, you Pharisees. They killed Christ. They killed Zechariah. They killed Isaiah. They killed all of the prophets that spoke. They hated Micah. No wonder they hated him. They changed his word in Micah 5:2 that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. Oh, but that's over in Bethlehem, Judea. They wasn't even a town named Bethlehem, Judea. When Micah was prophesying about that great place, back in Genesis 35, verse 19, which was Bethlehem Ephrathah, that's the original Bethlehem, that's the one that Christ was born in, that's the one that David was born at, all of them Ephraimites. And boy, if we could get that on a movie, wouldn't we have we would have a passion. We would have something that would really and truly get people to see the rest of the truth. Now, let me give you some Talmud stuff here. The government of those calling themselves Jews have made a special department to promote the tourists, as I've said. These Jewish government leaders work hand in hand with the preachers. Matter of fact, if they get into financial trouble, they bail them out with money that we send to Israel for aid. And anytime that they get it hard up, it's like Mr. Sharon said when they were criticizing him and his government and said that the United States might, you know, they might just jump on you. And they might just slap your hand for doing what you're doing to these poor Palestinians over here. And did you know what Mr. Sharon said? America does not tell us what to do. We tell America. Well, Mr. Rothschild said, I care not who makes the laws as long as I have the money. Well, ladies and gentlemen, they're over here making it day and night and shipping it that way. 3% of the people are now owning 97% of the wealth, and the Jews make up 2% of the world's population. The Aryan whites are down to 10% and declining fast, and the plan is to completely annihilate and eliminate the white race with miscegenation and things of this nature. And the plan is to get it done in 50 years. And the way it's going, it probably won't take that long, but that's another story. Now, bring your millions. Bring your millions. Come and visit. But you can't stay there because you're not a Jew. Did you know that the Talmud says that Christ was a filthy pervert and that Christians are idiots and are worthy of death? Christians are idiots. Well, I'd hate to visit a nation that thought of me like that. Praise Yahweh. Think Christ would be welcome over there? They killed him. They killed him in 33 years. He wouldn't live 33 minutes if he appeared over there to set in the temple they're going to build, the true Christ. Now, the false one, he'll get good treatment. And the Abba Hodah, Zarah, page 26, it says, a Jew who kills a Christian commits no sin, but offers an acceptable sacrifice to God. Well, that sounds like that's anti-Semitic to me, because Christians should be Semitic. Now, who's the anti-Semitics? Those that speak out against Jews, or Jews that speak out against Christians? Well, you just have to decide that, because, you know, once you go see the Passion, you're going to really get a grip, or you're going to really see, and really, they didn't tell the whole story. This is, they've had to take some of the gory scenes out of it. You know, they didn't show where they showed where they beat Christ unmercifully and put great welts on his back. Ladies and gentlemen, that wasn't welts that was on his back. It was great gashes that exposed his rib cage in his back. They stared at his bones that they opened up in his very flesh. If Mr. Gibson had done his work according to the Gospels, he would have ripped the man's flesh apart if they could have did this without pain and agony that Christ really suffered. And I know it's just a movie, but they should have showed his rib cage. And ladies and gentlemen, he didn't have much of a beard left when they hung him there. He did have a beard, by the way. Because some of these clean-faced Christians that think it's sin to wear a beard, you got to grow up and be a man, maybe get one. Maybe you can think like a man. You've acted like a little patsy so long that you started thinking like a female. And you certainly act like one. Little weak-wristed preachers never worked a day in their life. Don't have to go to some cemetery school, learn to preach and deceive and to fleece and make proselytes. And they make them two full more. You see, the biggest congregation on the earth that is going to hell will be Christians. Those that have been deceived, thinking that they're in a way that is right when it's actually a way that seems right. And you can't get up the same right way. Listen to this. If you get down to what the scriptures actually say, these people are actually robbing Christians in the name of God. They're really doing that. They're just actually robbing people of their precious commodities, and are taking billions of dollars in support and are killing, mangling, building walls. Any other nation, any other people that did this to a people, the crimes that they committed and done. And when a little Arab goes and blows himself up, oh, this is bad. But when they send the tanks that are American-made and the Apache helicopters and shoot little babies in the street with 30 caliber machine gun bullets blowing a hole that you could actually put a stovepipe head through. And we call this in the name of God. Folks, there's something wrong with our thinking. We've been turned completely around to support that which is wrong and condemn that which is right, when we should support that which is right and condemn that which is wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. I've got to get out of here. This is Pastor Buddy. And you're listening to Shepherd's Call, part one, a woe unto you, Pharisees and hypocrites. Part two coming up, praise Yahweh. If you'd like to write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight. I'm in the studio at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to call my sponsor, Dr. Gary, tonight, tell him that you heard the radio message tonight, and you'd like to support her show. We need your help. Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Call him up and tell him you heard the show, and Pastor Buddy, and I'll be much obliged. Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. These men sponsor the Shepherds, a call, a radio ministry, and we need your help. We need your support. We're in a fight, we're in a battle, and we're alone. We got nobody standing with us. Most of everybody stands against us. But if you want to join the select few, not the many, then write us, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's new, NEWTAZEWELL, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. We're going to pick up where we left off next week, Yahweh willing and the Spirit's willing. We can't forecast what we're going to be preaching on because, you know, I had a message on my mind tonight, and Yahweh changed my mind right at the last moment. So the Father, the Heavenly Father, is a thorough guide for those that are led by the Spirit, as many are the sons of Yah. If you're the sons of God, you know one thing, that David was his offspring, as well as Christ was the offspring of David. Isn't that a marvelous thing? That Yahweh started this genetic bloodline in the earth, and only his sheep will hear his voice, and only his sheep, whose names were written on the foundation of the world, on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, they will be going back with him, because he's lost none but the sons of perdition, those that were forecasted to be the serpent seed in the earth that would fight, prosper, cast the truth to the ground, encourage, promote homosexuality, perversion, entertainment, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Yahweh, breaking his Sabbaths. You folks that don't keep Sabbath, we're going to get into the message of the Sabbath very soon. I'm going to prove to you that the Jews do not know when the Sabbath comes. They are in the deception, just like the Christians on Sunday and the Jews on Saturday. It's not the true Sabbath. You should tune in to great men like Brother Arnold. Brother Arnold will tell you the truth about it. He's got a great understanding on the Sabbath. I agree with Brother Arnold 100% on the Sabbath days and the times and the reckoning of times. You need to study to show yourself approved. You need to get back in line with the love of Yahweh and the commandments. And remember, the only way that you know that you pass from death to life is because you love Yahweh and keep his commandments, and you love your neighbor, which is the house of Israel, as yourself. So when they accuse you of anti-Semitic, you remember that you are from the 12 tribes, possibly the 13th tribe of the house of Israel, and you could not be anti. The Antichrist are those who deny that he came and that he died and that they killed him. Remember that. Well, friends, it's time for Pastor Buddy to be gone, and I would appreciate if you would call me, area code 423-626-2172. Now, if the phone is busy and you get voicemail, please leave your name and telephone number. We will return your call as soon as possible. This is Pastor Buddy saying, Yahweh bless and shalom. Thank you.